morning, carrying on. Alochs the Chofetz Chaim, a daily companion. His chosr for Shalema for Yosef Dov Ben Ben Chayla, the search or Chole Yisrael. Carrying on for where we left off on Friday. If you've ever been approached by a person involved in a monetary dispute, you've probably found that, in his opinion, his opponent is completely in the wrong, with no justification at all for his position. Quite possibly, if you spoke to the other party, you would encounter a reasonable person whose claims against the first party are equally valid. The fact is that in financial disputes, there are often no villains. Rather, there are misunderstandings and conditions that were never properly clarified from the start. However, it is natural for the disputants to view matters solely from their own perspectives. This fact can lead to a major problem when disputants offer what they consider to be obvious proof before a Beis Din. The Chofetz Chaim provides the following rules. A Beis Din can make use of such proof only if they can personally vouch for the validity of the proof, or if two Edim testified in Beis Din to the validity of the proof. In such a case, Beis Din is allowed to actually punish a defendant based on the proof provided. The Chofetz Chaim bemoans the fact that all too often a party brings his monetary complaints to leaders of his community, offering circumstantial evidence, and the community leaders take action based on his word alone. The Chofetz Chaim stresses that it is absolutely forbidden to take action against any party without first-hand confirmation of the evidence or valid aiders in Beis Din. To believe the litigant based on his word alone is to accept Lashon Hara. To punish the other party based on such Lashon Hara is an additional Avera. Not so lucky. Sorry, still another 2 minutes. Sorry. The Chofetz Chaim focuses on the players in the sin of Lashon Hara, the speaker, the listener, and the subject. He begins with some important rules about the subject. Contrary to public belief, one is not allowed to speak Lashon Hara about his or her relatives, including one's spouse. The Chofetz Chaim says that many people stumble into this type of Lashon Hara by rationalizing the most negative talk about family members is not intended to malign, but to voice disapproval. This, of course, is not permitted by halacha. When a relative commits a wrong, one has no right to put the issue on the table for open discussion. Of course, there are times when issues may be discussed later LS for a constructive purpose, or when a sibling has done something wrong and needs to be told to a parent. However, cautions the Chofetz Chaim, even in such cases, all seven conditions of Lashon Hara to Eles must be met. And do you remember the seven conditions? First of all, you have to be absolutely certain that the information is correct. Secondly, you must think the matter through and be sure that a wrong has been committed. Number three, one must first approach the wrongdoer and attempt to persuade him to rectify his behavior. And that's all we've got time for, because it's now time for the speaker. Start your day the Torah way, Northwest London, Sunday, Lag BaOmer, Yud Ches Iyar, 26th of May, Rabbi Jeremy Goldke Shlita, Lag BaOmer and the Power of Resilience.
Okay, good morning. morning. It's good to be back in Torah Way. Of course, now it's Lag Va'Omer, so that is the natural topic of conversation, and that's what we'll speak about. It's called Lag Va'Omer and the Power of Resilience. If I were to do a poll, not just in this room, or if I were to go to any local shul, or if I were to go to Kosher Kingdom around the corner, and I'd ask people, why are we celebrating Lag Va'Omer? I would imagine that I would get, the majority of people will tell me, one of two reasons. What are the two reasons? Number one, the Talmidim of Rabbi Kiva stopped dying. And number two, it's the Hilul of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. It's the Yahrzeit of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. And as I'll explain, with superficially, both of those reasons need explanation, because it doesn't really satisfy me as to what we're celebrating, Lag Ba'omer. The Talmid Rabbi Kiva passed away. The Pri Chodesh asks a very obvious question. He had 24,000 Talmidim. They all died, says the Gemara, in this period, you know, different traditions, exactly when they died, over a period of 33 days. So at the end of 33 days, when all 24,000 Talmidim had died and the last one had passed away, there was no one else left to die. What's the celebration? In fact, if you look at box number two, Umiu yesh ledakdek besimcha zu, lama. V'imishim sheposku milamas, mabakach. If they stop dying, so what? Harilo nisha echot mehem. There was no one less self to die. V'kulam mesu, mativa shazim chazu. So what's exactly is this reason? We'll see soon.
Five,
Yo. Oh. The second reason of Shimba Yochai, again, why are we singling out Rav Shimon bar Yochai? He was, of course, a person of enormous stature. But there were many other Tanoim. Why are we focusing on Rav Shimon bar Yochai? If we're looking for somebody who, you know, many of the other contemporaries of that time were also very great people. Rav Meir, for example, if you're looking for someone who was impactful, the Gemara says, Stam Mishnah Rav Meir, which means any Mishnah which is unattributed is Rav Meir. If you're looking for somebody who's intellectually very advanced, so Rav Meir is off the charts, because we don't pass him like him, because Ein Yerid L'Sof Daito, he's so brilliant that we can't really understand everything he's saying. So we can't pass him like him, because we can't plumb the depths of his genius. If we're looking for a Mekubal, Rav Meir is also, you know, the Rav Meir Balanes, that's Rav Meir. Eloikad Rav Meir Aneini, that's Rav Meir. And, you know, in a way, Tveria is easier to navigate than Meiron. So what exactly is going on? What is Lag Ba'Omer all about? If the starting point, of course, is the Gemara in Yevamos. If you look at the first box, the Gemara says in Yevamos, Samach Beis Amud Beis. Omru, Shnaim Esa Elef Zugim Talmidim Hoyle Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva had 12,000 pairs of students, Migivas Adan Tipras, from one place to another, V'kulon Mesu B'Perek Echod. And they all died in one period of time, if they should learn Nogu Kovat Zera Zer. Now, the key words are the next words. V'hoya ha'olam shomei. The world was desolate. The yeshiva world had been obliterated. Ad shebo Rabbi Kiva etz rabbeinu shebedorim. V'shinu lohem, until Rabbi Kiva went south, and he taught Torah again to these five students, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Loz ben Shamua. V'heim heim heimidu Torah eis hashah. And they rebuilt Torah. In other words, what we're celebrating in Lag Ba'Omer is not that they stopped dying, but we're celebrating the resilience and the fortitude and the optimism of Rabbi Akiva that he started over. You know, you do the maths. 24,000 Talmidim died in a period of 33 days. That's approximately 800 a day, which is approximately one every 2 or 3 minutes. So just imagine the scenario in the Beis HaMedrash. You've got Rabbi Akiva sitting there, and someone coming over, Rabbi Kiva, I'm afraid so-and-so didn't make it. 3 minutes later, I'm afraid there's another Levi. For 33 days, every 2-3 minutes, on average. But Rabbi Kiva, anybody else would be forgiven for saying, okay, let's move on, I'll do something different. But Rabbi Kiva understood the nitzchis of Klal Yisrael and the imperative of the continuation of the Mesorah, and he started again. Now this world look is Rabbi Kiva. Because Rabbi Kiva has the ability to see the silver lining in every cloud. And there are many Gemaras which illustrate this. Perhaps the most famous is the Gemara at the end of Makkos. Right? We're familiar with the Gemara. We've all been to Siyumim. And the Gemara says at the end of Makkos that they came to Har HaBayis. They were crying. His colleagues, who incidentally, you know, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, they were crying and they were laughing.
Now,
and he came along and he said to them, "Why are you crying?" He said, "Well, why are you laughing?" "Well, I'm laughing because they're crying for natural reasons. They come to the Har HaBayis and they see Shualim Hilchubai, the holiest place and the holiest day of the year and the holiest person in Klal Yisrael, and now there are foxes roaming there." And Rabbi Kiva explained to them that, "I see the fulfillment of the Nevuah, Shualim Hilchubai, and just like I've seen this, I'm going to see, Mitzvah Hashem, I'm certain the other Nevuah will come true. A Yesh V'Zakenim V'Zakenis." You go to the old city today and you see etched in some of the benches in the Rova, the Pasuk, Oid Yeshu Zakenim V'Zakenis, that there'll be a time where old men and women will be sitting in the streets of Yerushalayim. It's coming to our, you know, we see it in our own days. Yilodim V'Yilodis Mesachakim. Now, there's a Gemara in Chulin. With this perspective, we can explain a very difficult Gemara in Chulin. Take a look at paragraph 4. This is amazing. "This I heard from Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau." This little piece. The Gemara says in Chulin Sadi Aleph from a base. Omer Rabbi Kiva, Sha'altis Rabbi Gamliel Vetz Rabbi Shua Be'itlish Al Imum. Once upon a time, says Rabbi Kiva, I went to the meat market of Imum and I asked the questions from Rabbi Gamliel Rabbi Shua. Why were they there? Why were they in the meat market? She'holchu Likach Be'im and Mishta B'nei Shem Gamliel. Because Rabbi Gamliel's son was getting married, they were going to make a chasna. So they went to buy some meat for the chasna of Rabbi Gamliel's son. So what was the question Rabbi Kiva asked them? Ksiv, it says in Pashas Vayishlach, Vayizrach Le'ashemesh, the son shone for Yaakov when he was dueling, he was battling with the Malach of Esav. All of a sudden the sun rose, the sun shone, Vayizrach Le'ashemesh, and he had to stop and say Krishma. V'chishemesh le'levadzarcho. What does it mean, Vayizrach Le'i Hashemesh? Did the sun shine just for Yaakov Avinu? V'halo le'kol olam zarcho. It shone for the entire world. When the sun rose this morning, it didn't just rise for one individual, it rises for the whole of humanity. Why Vayizrach Le Hashemesh? This continues the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yitzchok, Shemesh Habo Ba'avurei, Zorcho Ba'avurei. The sun which set for him, shone for him. What does that mean? Dichsiv. Vayetze Yaakov Be'er-Sheva Vayelech Chorono. Yaakov Avinu left Be'er-Sheva and he went to Choro. Uchsiv Vayifka Ba'mokam. He went to that place. Etc., etc. We're familiar with the Gemara, the rest of the Gemara. What happened? Yaakov Avinu was running away from Esav after he got the brachas. He gets to Har HaBayis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to stop and daven there. So he made the sun set prematurely. Let's say it was meant to set at 6 p.m. and set at 4 p.m. So then you couldn't carry on. It's dark. It's pitch black. And there he had his famous dream. Many years later, I think the Cheshbon is 36, 14 years in Shem Ve'eva, plus the 22 years in the House of Lavan and the traveling time. 36 years later, he's now ready to move on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu compensates the shining of the sun, and instead of rising at 6 a.m., it rises at 4 a.m. Okay, Ad Kan the Gemara. Rabbi Lau asked 4 questions on this Gemara. The Gemara is not a storybook. Why does the Gemara tell us that the dialogue took place in the meat market of Imam? What is the relevance of that? Just tell me. The main point is, Vayizrach La'ashemesh. Why tell me where the question was asked? What relevance? Number 2, what is the significance of the fact that Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Shua were there to buy meat because Rabbi Gamliel's son was getting married? Why is that relevant? Number 3, very perplexing, is that if you're going to go all the way to ask them the question, you'd expect an answer from Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Shua. And yet, they don't give an answer. Rabbi Yitzchok, who's Rabbi Yitzchok? He's the one who gives the answer. And fourthly, what was the hurry? Why couldn't Rabbi Akiva just ask them this question the next day in the Beis HaMedrash? Why did you have to go bother them? You know, Lamashal now, you're making a chasna. So you're making a chasna and you go meet the caterer. And you're sitting there at the caterer, your Talmud knocks on the door, "Rebbe, can I speak to you, please? I've got a question." Like, is it urgent? "Well, it's a kasha, I've got a pashas vayishlach. Could it wait to the Beis HaMedrash tomorrow?" What's the urgency that Rabbi Kiva had to go ask them when they're going to buy meat at the meat market? Those are the 4 questions. Says Rabbi Lau, beautiful pshat. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua were not in the mood to make a chasna. This is, you've got to understand the historical context of this. Rabbi Kiva lived at the end, during, and post Churban Bayis Sheni. So he saw the Beis HaMikdash, he saw the destruction, and he saw life post-Churban. Imagine making a chasna in 1945 in a DP camp. You're not really in the mood. Rabbi Kiva felt that they were going to buy the meat and to make the chasna with a heavy heart. And he went not to ask them a question, but to give them chizuk and to teach them a lesson. He therefore went to the meat market and said, look, I understand this is post-Churban and you're coming along here with a heavy heart. But that's not the way. And I'll prove it to you. Vayizrach le'ashemesh, the sun shone for him. V'chiz shemesh bilvad zarcha, his sun shone just for Yaakov. He went to teach them that everything is part of a divine plan. Even something as seemingly insignificant as the quota of hours that the sun shines has a proper cheshbon. 36 years earlier, it was outdone, it didn't shine its full quota. HaKadosh Baruch Hu compensates it 36 years later. Instead of shining the full amount, 36, it stopped 2 hours short, 36 years later we'll make it up. Vayizrach le'ashemesh, on account of Yaakov Avinu, the sun shone 2 extra hours, whatever it was. Now we understand our questions. The Gemara is saying the significance of the fact that the dialogue took place in the meat market of Imam and the Rabbi Gamliel Rabbi Shua making a chasna, Rabbi Gamliel's son was getting married, that's intrinsic to the story. That Rabbi Kiva was going not to ask a question, but going to teach a lesson, that there is a silver lining to every cloud, there is a master plan, and don't go with a heavy heart. And therefore he was teaching them the lesson of Rabbi Yitzchak. That was his means to give them chizuk. And that's why he couldn't wait till the next morning, because that's the whole point. He went, Dafka, in this place. Okay. And there are many other Gemaras which, by the way, many other Gemaras which prove this. For example, a few weeks ago was Seder night. So one of the key parts of the Haggadah is Maase Rabbi Eliezer, that takes place in Bnei Brak. Everyone asks, what are they doing in Bnei Brak? That's the place of Rabbi Akiva. The Talmud doesn't go, they don't come to the Talmud's house, the Talmud goes to the Rebbe. Why are the Rebbeim coming to the Talmud? The Aruch HaShulchan says, again, because why were they in the cave, Higiyaz Man Krishma? One of the answers given is, because they were hiding from Roman persecution, and they had to hide, and they weren't really in the mood to celebrate Yontif. But there's one person we can go to who's going to give us the chizuk and the excitement and the inspiration, that's Rabbi Akiva. That's why they're in Bnei Brak. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. V'kama rise. Okay. Therefore, we're not mourning the fact that the Talmidim stopped dying, like the Pri Chodesh asks. They stopped dying, there was no one else left to die. What's the celebration? The celebration, the commemoration, the power of Lag BaOmer is that we are commemorating the fact that Rabbi Kiva had that fortitude to get up, to brush himself down, to continue the transmission of Torah, and to teach these 5 Talmidim. Now, And the impact is huge. If you look at the top of the next page, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Pei Zayin, Stam Masnisin Reb Meir, Stam Tosefta Reb Nechemia, Stam Sifra Reb Yehuda, Stam Sifri Reb Shimon, V'kulo Alibid Reb Akiva. Everything is Reb Akiva. And that really is what the Pri Chodesh says. If you look at the next box, V'ef Sheshav Simcha Hi, Al Oisim Talmidim Shehoisif Achakach. The real Simcha of Lag BaOmer is not that they stopped dying, but that Reb Akiva continued. And Reb Akiva really epitomizes Torah Shebal Peh. How do you see that? The famous Gemara in Menachos. The Gemara says in paragraph 5b, Omer B'Yudha Merav, B'Shah She'olah Moshe Lamar, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to on high, Motzu LaKadosh Baruch Hu She'yeshev V'Koshe K'sarim La'Osius. He saw the Moshe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was writing all K'sarim and Osius and the crowns and the Tagim of the Torah. Omer Lefanov Rebbeinu Shalom Mikmi Akav Al Yotcha. Well, why is this delaying? You can give the Torah without writing all the Ksarim on the Torah. There's a person who's going to come in many generations' time. He's going to darshan piles of halachas on every line that is above letters in the Torah. I want to see him. Show me this gentleman. Omar Loi Chazor Lacharechol, come in my time machine and we'll go see him. Halach v'yoshev b'soif shmoyne shuras. He started sitting, he sat, Moshe Rabbeinu went to Bekiva Shir, and he sat 8 rows at the back. V'lo yodeh mahin omrim. Like many students in my school, they didn't know what was going on. Toshash keichai, so he felt ill. Moshe Rabbeinu was sitting there, he didn't understand. Kivin shegia the dov echa. But then at one point in the shir, Amr lo tamida Rabbi minayin lecha. One of the students said to Rabbi Akiva, where do you know this from? Amr lo en halacha l'Moshe Mitzinai. It's halacha l'Moshe Mitzinai. And it says the Gemara, it's yashva daite. Moshe Rabbeinu felt comforted again. Chaz abodim ha-kadosh baruch hu, Amr lefan of Rabbeinu shalom, yesh lecha adam kazeh, v'atan eisen tere al yodi. You've got someone like this who can darshan piles of halachas on every little crowd and every line on top of the Torah, and you're giving the Torah through me, give it through him. No, this is my plan. But what you see from here is that Rabbi Akiva epitomizes Torah Shebal Peh. Now, that is more Teres Hanigla. Rabbi Shimba Yochai, of course, personifies Teres Hanista. What's the background for him? Let's look at the next Gemara. Diyosiv Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Shimon. Famous Gemara in Shabbos Lamed Gimel. The way to remember it is Shamas Lag. Yeah? The three great Tanoim were sitting and discussing the merits of the Roman Empire. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon. For Yosef Yehuda ben Gerim Gabayim. There was a fourth person there who we'll see went and informed to the Roman authorities. Pasach Rabbi Yehuda v'omah kamanoim ma'asem shel umazu. Why? Rabbi Yehuda said, the Romans are actually very beneficial, very good. They built many merchtois, many kesharim, and they're good people. They did things which were productive for society. Rabbi Yossi was shosak, and as we'll see, his punishment was he went to Tzipori, he was exiled. And Rabbi Shimbai and Rabbi Shimon, he turned around and said, no, actually, all of these things which they're doing for society are self-serving in a very hedonistic way. They're building kesharim, they can get money. Merchetzah is just to pamper themselves and the marketplaces so they can have zonus there. He says they're terrible. Nishmu l'malchus, it got to the word, got back to the authorities. Amru Yehuda she'ila yisali, Yehuda who prays, he will be promoted. Yosi she'shosak yigol le'tzipayri, he'll go to exile in Tzipayri. And Shimon she'gina, he was disparaging of the authorities, he's going to be killed. Okay, that's the background. Also, that's why they were hiding in this cave for this 12 plus the extra 13th year. Ozel, who were Bren, originally his wife would give them food, then he was worried they would torture the wife, so therefore he just went away and he just didn't tell anyone where he was, just him and his son. Toshub Ma'arto, what actually happened in this cave? Israchish Nisa Ivrilu Churva Ve'ena Demaya. A carob tree amazingly sprouted outside, and a well of water. V'hava Meshalchim Nayu. And that sustained them. V'aviyosvi atzavaraya b'chalon. They, you know, it's a hot times. It was Eretz Yisrael in the summer. Their clothes would wear, so they took their clothes off when they were there the whole day, and they sat. Kula yom garsi. They learned the whole day. But eden soli lovshum ma'michsum atzlu. And they took their clothes off, and they didn't want to wear them out. And only they put them on. They sat in the sand up to their neck. They were sat and learned the whole day, and then when it came, so they shouldn't wear the clothes out. When it came to tefillah, they put their clothes back on again, because if they wear them 24/7 for 12 years without any laundry, they'll just wear away. Is would trace the shani marata. They were in the cave for 12 years, and then the Gemara carries on with the 13th year. We're familiar with it. Either way, the Gemara says a little bit later, shomer pinchas ben yoy chasne v'nofik la'ape. They heard the baskol came out that they're safe to come out, and they came out of the cave. The son-in-law of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yoy, came to greet them, and he took his father-in-law, Ali Lebe Bani, he took him to the bathhouse after all these years to wash himself. His flesh was very worn. There were cracks and sores on his body. And Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yoy started crying, seeing his father-in-law in this position. And then the tears with salt in them, Rashi explains, stung him, his father-in-law, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. What you see from here is the remarkable Mesiras Nefesh of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. To sit in a cave, to learn Torah with such intensity, and according to most, he was writing the Zohar at that point. That's really where it was written and edited and put, collated. And therefore, the celebration of Lag BaOmer is the continuity of the Mesorah. That we had Tanoim like Rabbi Akiva and like Rabbi Shimon, who had the fortitude, the resilience, the positive character, that they were able to make sure that Torah is going to continue. Both Rabbi Akiva, when it came to Torah Shebal Peh, of Torah Hanigla, and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai of Torah Hanista. They had a longer term vision. It's very interesting. In yesterday's parsha, you have a pasuk which talks about counting, and we had one in the parsha before, in Parsha's Emor. In Parshas Emor, the pasuk says, "Sfiras Omer usfartem lochem mochras Shabbos." In yesterday's parsha, the pasuk says, "V'sfartu locho sheva Shabbos sheva shonim, you know, teishav arboim shana." The 2 weeks ago in Parshas Emor, we're talking about Sfiras Omer, sfartem lochem, and yesterday in Parshas Baha, "V'sfartu locho" is counting Shmita years and counting Yovel years. Why is it that 2 weeks ago, for Sfiras Omer, says usfartem lochem b'loshen rabim? And yesterday it says v'safar to lechoch b'loshen yochid. The answer is that the Gemara Menachah says that when it comes to Sfira Sa'omer, v'safartem lochem shetei sfir lekol echod ve'echod. We all have to count. And even if we're out, we still got to count just without the bracha. Rashi says shekol echod chayv lispar. So v'safartem lochem. But when it comes to Shmita and Yovel, says the Rambam in Hilchos Shmita and Yovel Perigyut Halacha Aleph, mitzvahs asay lisper sheva shonim, ulekadish nasa chamishim, two separate mitzvahs, Shmita Yovel, shenem v'sofar t'locho, etc. V'shtei mitzvahs elu masurin lebeistin ha'godl bilvad. That's the din in beistin ha'godl. So therefore, v'sofar t'locho, you, Sanhedrin, deal with it. The counting of the Omer is the duty of the individual, and the counting of the Yovel is the responsibility of the Sanhedrin. An important principle by Jonathan Sachs in his lovely book, Lessons of Leadership, he says what emerges from there is that individuals count days, but leaders count years. They have a longer-term vision. Yeah, he brings an anecdote that the Chinese leader in the 1970s was someone called Zhu Enlai. And he was asked, he says, what are his thoughts about the French Revolution in 1789? And his response was, too soon to tell. Too soon to tell. Too soon to tell. Now, the others say he wasn't talking about the French Revolution. He was talking about the student the revolution in 1968. There was many years earlier. But the theme is, the principle is the same. Lahavdil, leaders of Klal Yisrael, have a long-term vision. You know, we had a fellow in school a couple of Sundays ago. His name was David Halperin. He's from Bnei Brak. He's got a whole Lashon Hara campaign. So I said to him, I was sitting there before the thing, we were talking. I said, tell me, are you related to Rabbi Yaakov Halperin, the famous Rabbi Yaakov Halperin of Bnei Brak, who gave his land to the Ponovitch Rav and they built the base? He said, yeah, my Zayda, my father's father. So I told the boys, well, who is Rabbi Yaakov Halperin? But when I introduced him, I said, Rabbi Yaakov Halperin was the famous man. He was a wealthy fellow. He lived in Bnei Brak. He owned real estate, and the Ponovitch Rav had survived the war. His wife and his Nebuch, his kids, didn't, and they were killed in Europe. And the Ponovitch Rav came to Eretz Yisrael, wanted to rebuild the Ponovitch Yeshiva, and he went. He was walking with a few others on, you know, in Bnei Brak, which then was barren, and Rabbi Yaakov Halperin owned a lot of land there. And the Ponovitch Rav said, "I want to build the yeshiva again, and we're going to have." And Rabbi Yaakov Halperin said, "I'll give you the land. This land, the high point of land, this is yours." And the Ponovitch Rav was very excited. "We're going to have a base of medrash for 500 boys, and there's going to be dormitories, there's going to be a chad ochel." And they said, 500 boys? Ponovitch started with 6 students. They had to go around, try and find here and there. It's 500 boys. They thought he had lost his mind a bit. And then in a nice way, they said to him, "Ponovitch Rav, you're dreaming." And he famously said, "I may be dreaming, but my eyes are open."
No, I'm not sleeping.
"But I may be dreaming, but my eyes are open. I'm not sleeping. He had a longer-term vision. Rabbi Dayan David Dunner told me yesterday, he said that Rav Shach, that the Brisk Rav said about Rav Shach, that he sees things that other people don't see. He has a longer term perspective. That's Klal Yisrael, to have a longer term perspective. And the truth is, you see many examples of this. That when Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai went into Vespasian and he asked for things, ten yavde v'chachomeha, because he understood that the lifeblood of Klal Yisrael is Torah, is Talmidei Chachomim, is the seat of the Sanhedrin. And there are many examples of this. That's what Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai had. They had a long-term perspective because they understand that the transmission of Torah is what we're all about. Now, what they also demonstrate is that there's no concept of Yush. They don't give up. What's fascinating is in yesterday's Pirkei Avos, it always falls out, Perek Dalet, falls out around the same time as the week of Lag BaOmer. Now, in Perek Dalet, you have Acher. Acher demonstrated no hope. And because the Gemara says that everyone could do tshuva chutz mi'acher. His nisoyon was that actually you could do tshuva. He could have done tshuva. But he gave up. Interestingly, what memra of Rabbi Elisha ben Avuya Acher do we read in Pirkei Avos of the week of Lag BaOmer? We read that Haloim made zokain l'mahu doimeh, teaching an old person, what's that like? It's like ink on worn paper. It's very hard. No hope. Better off teaching much younger. That is Rabbi Elisha ben Avuya's philosophy. Now, of course, you can do it, and I see Mr. Zanger go to the shir every morning, every day. K'nai Nahar is 100 years old, I think, and every day with the freshness and coming. It's remarkable. He's mechayev everyone. But it's interesting that Elisha ben Avuya Acher, that is his perspective was, that there was no hope, that he didn't do tshuva. But Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shimba Yechai demonstrate that there's no yish, there's no concept of yish. There's an amazing piece of Reb Tzadok. Reb Tzadok in Divrei Sofer says the following. Listen, you haven't got it, but I'll read it out to you. Ein Yehudi Yisya'ish Shum Dova. A Jew cannot give up. We're living in troubled times, very bizarre, unsettling times. It's worth reading this. Ein Yehudi Yisya'ish Shum Dova. Bein binyone haguf, bein kumesha omra filu cherev chada tzavara limone merachamim, even in physical matters, not to despair. Bein binyone hanefesh, afilu nishtakeh lemokum shnishtakeh v'chotu bedova, even if a person is spiritually very is struggling, she'ein tshuva, and he thinks there's no tshuva, or a tshuva kosher, or she'ras v'mishtakeh v'helech binyone, al yisya'esh ba'atzmoy. The person should never ever give up, she'lo yochel nifashayit ki ein yiyush klal Etzel Ish Yehudi. There's no such concept of Yush. He says then, he says further, V'chol binyan umma ha-Yisraelis hoya acha ha-Yush. If you think about it, the very building, the beginning of Klal Yisrael, happens at the point when we thought it was all over. Why? The Avram v'sora zakenim. They were very old. Shelo ola al das odom oid lahamin zeh. No one could entertain the possibility that this old couple are going to have children. V'chein ha-yeshua de-la-osid ein bein David bo'at shi-nis-yashu min-ha-gu'ula, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. That's how it's going to operate. And then he says, amazingly, he says that Avram Avinu, who is the founder of Klal Yisrael, as it were, he says what happened when Lot was captured and the four kings had taken him, everyone else, even Melech Sadoim, he says, kach lechov kaches ha-rechush te-kvan-is-yash b'dei-ha-melochim. He was Messiah, and therefore you could take it. It's not mine anymore. Everyone had given up from saving him. What did he do? Avram Avinu went along with Eliezer, 380 men, which the Gemara in the Nedarim says is Gematria Eliezer. Eliezer, 300 is Gematria 318. Yeush is Gematria 317. He went along with Eliezer because Eliezer 318 always overpowers 317. There's no concept of Yeush. Don't tell me I can't save Lot. We're not guided by, normal rules. And therefore, I believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to help me. With him, we can do anything. Ein yush klal etzel yehudi, ish yehudi, says the Reb Tzadok. And therefore, the very foundation of the binyan is based on this concept that Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shimon so personify in Lag BaOmer. Finish with this, that, we're told we're now two-thirds of the way through Sefer HaOmer. Pasuk says Tisbru Chamishim Yoim, and yet we know that we only count 49. Why? How can the Torah say count 50 and yet we only count 49? Perhaps the answer is we have to do as much as we can humanly do, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes over. Level 50 is always a level beyond people. Moshe Rabbeinu gets to level 49. We never get to level 50. Tisbru Chamishim Yoim means you have to count 49, and then the last bit HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do. Interestingly, the Gemara says in Yuma that Omer Bikiva, Dafka, he personifies this. Ashreichem Yisrael, when they was describing the Yom Kippur, I remember what a Yom Kippur was like, they told him. That we had a Beis HaMikdash, we had the Levim singing, we had the Kohanim doing the Avodah, and now you sit in Shulude, this is a Beis HaMikdash. Ashreichem Yisrael, Lifnei Miyatei Metarim, Mimitar Eschem, Vichem Sheba Shamayim, etc., which is sung on Lag BaOmer. Mimitar Eschem, who's going to purify you? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mi is Gematria 50. Mem Yud. Mi Matai Eschem. Lifnei mi Atem Matarim. You've got to do as much as you can do. 49. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come in Mi Matai Eschem. That's Pshat. The Rogachava says an amazing thing. That Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and Rav Kiva, they both demonstrate this middah of not giving up, of continuing, of the perpetuity of Torah, the Nitzchis of Klal Yisrael. There's a famous Machlokes of Shimon Rabbi Yehuda. Dovashem is chavin, his mutter is osa. We paskin like Rav Shimon. What's the machlekas? Says the Rogachova, is the focus on the teitzah or on the kavana? If you hold Dovashem is chavin, his mutter, that means I don't really mind what happens, whether this thing happens in the end. The ikka is what was your kavana. If your kavana was not to do it, so therefore Dovashem is chavin, his mutter. I focus on the kavana. That's exactly this message. You do as much as you can do. The teitzah, the consequence, the outcome is not in your hands and is irrelevant. You've got to do as much as you can do. Tisbru chamishim yoim. Lifnei mi atem atarin. So you see that the celebration of Lag BaOmer is not just that the Talmidim stopped dying and the Shema Yochai's Yotzai. It's much more than that. It's that the Talmidim stopped dying, but he didn't give up. He understood the nitzchis of Klal Yisrael, netzach Yisrael le'ishakeh. He then brushed himself down, picked himself up, taught five more Talmidim, and went weiter. And Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, through tremendous mesiras nefesh, ensured the continuation of the Mesorah. So really, Lag BaOmer is an expression of the nitzchis of Klal Yisrael and the dispelling of the notion of Yiyush and the concept of us trying to do as much as we can possibly do. Tisbru chamishim yoyim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will make up. And certainly in the days we're living in, when the world seems to have gone crazy and everything defies logic, I think it's a very comforting and important theme. But his vote was that he wasn't going to ask a question, he was going to Shibden Kizuk. So he went, because they thought he was going. So he went, rhetorical question, he went to give him Kizuk. He's like, Hashem, it's the Cheshman, don't worry, it's all part of the plan. And that's what he was saying, that's why he answered the attacker, yeah, and they answered all the questions. As Morris said in Mubasra, yeah, they won't have restrictions for 9 days, throughout the year.
That was the wrong thing to say.
See? So I'm giving you a final Shabbos.
This Shabbos, I think, I have to check because I
check, check.
Get, I have
no
patterns.
No problem. Last 6 days to Shabbos.
Yeah. So, and the pace was good. He could come in the session. You know, touch his life. I'm sure he had a lot to do in school. He notices every little change.
I'm watching him and I picked something out that he did, but not for the same reasons. So funny how we almost don't see each other because there's different things going on. Like, Haskell sees, I don't see anything specific, I just see connections between everything. It's just fine points. He spots like a genius. Like, it's funny how people work.
He focuses
intensely on everything. And I don't do that. We both pay attention, I hope. It's just to different way, different things. Something along those lines. It's never exactly the same because nature is rough. But I don't know.
Okay. Can we finish the program?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, have
a good day.
Okay. I'd like to do something a bit later on. I'll tell you what it is. I also hurt my toe, and it's such a.